Okay, hi everybody. We're back now. We're going to be talking about the chart that has the T-theory confidence indicator, which we've discussed before. And below it, there is the Barron's confidence index, which has been produced versus by the gold world gold charts at the link below. And Barron's is part of the Wall Street Journal, and they've been publishing this for 40 or 50 years. And the chart isn't very good, but it's not Barron's fault. They just produce it in tabulated data form and make it available. And so, but the index above, of course, is the junk bond fund, Fidelity's junk bond fund FAGIX, which is capital and income, and it's a ratio divided by the 20-year, it's the long-term Treasury bond fund, but the maturity of the Treasury bonds is about 20 years, which gives them a great volatility. And when you divide them, you end up with the same thing. The Barron's is a corporate bond. They divide the interest rates on a high-quality versus a low-quality bond, and they get a confidence indicator. And it's all based on the fact that if you ask somebody, do you want to buy a bond that yields 7%, or do you want to buy a bond that yields 5%? They say, well, they'll pick 7% because most people that are interested in bonds are interested in the higher yield, and 7 is bigger than 5. But if you tell them that the 7-year has a risk associated with it, and the lower interest rate has a much higher quality, then they'll begin to come to the conclusion that they have to look at the future to see what the risks are, risk reward ratio is. And if you divide those numbers, rising confidence indexes mean that they are leaning towards they have decided that they can take a chance on the higher yield but lower quality. When the index is falling, they get a better they temper there, and they agreed on the interest rates, and they go for the quality and so forth. The reason I presented this is because there are a couple of reasons. One of them, I'm looking to publish this, the T-theory confidence indicator, and the other thing is because I think it's an important tool, which I will discuss later today. But I'm also building another page at my T-theory Foundation, which is my long-term resting place for all of my work, and it's titled "A Summary of T-theory Terminology and Origins." In which I discuss and will show some examples from the book that I wrote in 1973, which was Principle of the Magic Tea. We called it Magic Tea at that time. And it kind of brings you up into what was known in that time period, and then it goes on to talk about how that's evolved into it got improved, but it also diverted off into other paths, and it answers a lot of questions that you might have to do with the fact that when you compute the moving averages, the exponential moving averages, the Arms index, which Richard Arms, incidentally, Richard Arms is Richard Arms Jr. is the fellow that invented the Arms ratio, and about a week ago he made it known that you should be short in the market. And he knows more about the Arms ratio than I do. I pointed out that the Arms ratio is running high, which seems to me to be indicative of a bottom, an oversold condition. So I'm at odds with him. But anyway, it defines what it is, and you know, different people define the index and so forth. Then we finally get down to the Barron's confidence index, and it says the Barron's confidence index dividing the average yield on high grade bonds by the average yield on intermediate term grade bonds, which is a lower quality. And the discrepancy between the yields is indicative of investor confidence. In the T-theory confidence, we're dividing them by the price of two funds. There's a difference between dividing the price of a high-quality fund, of a low-quality fund, dividing it by a price of a high-quality fund versus the interest rates of the two. But since interest rates and the price go in opposite directions, it's just the ratio is not that much. The interpretation is basically the same. Some of the how you divide it is a little bit different. But in any case, I thought that mine was better, my index was better than their index, and because you always could figure out what you wanted to buy. In the chart, of the well, you see, their chart is kind of ragged because they're dividing the interest rates. And I thought my chart was smoother. And in their chart, down the blue chart down there, they have this little dotted red line, which is a it's listed as a 50-week moving average. And from what I could find out, a 40-week moving average was pretty good, which is the blue line coming across the red confidence indicator. And if you look at why I'm interested in this confidence indicator, is sooner or later we're going to have a problem with our projected top in the late August time period of this year. And this indicator is pretty good at eventually figuring it out. And sometimes what you just need to know is is it true that confidence is rising or falling? Well, if you read Barron's magazine, or you read other publications, you find out they're always confident of the future. Now, if you listen to other people who are talk about hyperinflation, they're always pessimistic. So you have to have some arbitrator of the confidence picture, and this one is derived from the free market. So it's a free market indicator, right? It has no bias because we're not doing it, and I think it's better than the Barron's confidence index. So we can answer some questions. Well, let's just first review what we're doing, and then we're going to talk about what we're going to find out later. So anyway, in 2000, you had the 40-year cycle, the momentum on the long-term oscillator, which is covered for the 200-year chart, reached a peak in upside momentum the same as 1929. Well, right after 2000, the confidence indicator starts to slide down. It stays down below the 40-week moving average. It has these rallies, but it never gets back to it. And it carries in, of course, it ran into 9/11. They really didn't have too much confidence. That added to the non-confidence level. But even after that, it dropped down into the 02 area going into October. And then it started to turn up, and it came up. And so there was a rising confidence, and then it went to this long-term sideways trading range, which I put in black, steady confidence. It had a little blip up in the end of June, and that's when the stock market started to get in trouble in 07. It was in June because they were getting into the Bear Stearns problem. You see, it started to drop down. It came back to touch the line when the market made its high in October, and then it just continued to roll down into a bottom. So it's telling the story the right way. It's got foresight. The steady confidence doesn't do you an awful lot, but if you're in a bull market and you got steady confidence and you don't really think that the bull market's over yet necessarily, now you can go back and look at the advanced decline T that says you were going up to October 7th. That's fine. But we're looking for something that's independent, because when we come up this time, when we come out of this 09 low and we're going up, we know that if you draw a T in this indicator, you're going to come up with August of this year. And we also know that the advanced decline T number 13 says this is a top on the August 26th time period and so forth. The question is, what happens afterwards? Well, can you guarantee that that's a top? Well, you can go back and look in from 66 and it's reliable. Okay, but that doesn't guarantee it. Also, you don't know what the magnitude is. We would want to know what the confidence level of this indicator is when we get to August, which we don't know yet, to see whether the thing is like blazing. It is entirely possible that the stock market is going to go into a speculative upside peak, because we're seeing these momentums in the new highs list going into August, and everybody's going to get all hopped up and say they're confident. They're really confident. But what they are is they're just really greedy. And then if the confidence indicator starts to roll over, you're going to know that the people's greed is unfounded, based on the bond market. People are pretty smart. They don't get carried away too far. So if the confidence indicator is not being able to keep pace with what we think the market is doing, then that's kind of a problem. It would probably want to stabilize a little bit before it turns down, if it's going to turn down. But when we get there, after we get in past August 20, so we'll know something when we get to August 26. When we go beyond it, we're calling for a 3.5 month. We're calling for a 3.5 month decline, which is probably reliable. And but then after that, we're going to ask the question: is people are going to say, okay, so the market's oversold, but I'm still confident. I think the market's going to go higher. And other people will say, I don't think it's going to go higher. And you're going to come back and say, who's going to be the arbitrator? Well, you can't. You don't want to read magazines, or T-Theory will not be in a good position to say anything, because it's going to say the LST has ended and we have to find a cash buildup phase, which means that we don't, you know, we're waiting for more data. So we're going to start looking at the T-Theory confidence indicator. We're not going to look at the Barron's confidence indicator and say that it's the same thing. It's based on the same principle. Against the 40-week moving average, you've got a good, reliable indicator. And if it's going sideways, you can't say anything. Okay. If it's going up after August 26th, there's something going on that we don't know about. If it's going down, that's potentially going right with the forecast. If it goes down for 3 years, we're going to say, well, that's the 40-year cycle. Okay, and so forth. But you can sort that out by an indicator, and you don't have to delve into anything else. It's based purely on market judgments versus high quality versus low quality bonds, and those people are not carried away with anything. So if the ratio begins to come up with something that's really interesting, it's probably got it right. We do rely on the fact that the Barron's Confidence Index has had a good record over 40 years. We can't go back for 40 years on the T-Theory Confidence Indicator because the funds don't exist. It's hard to find government bond funds. Nobody set up a government bond funds of that type. The big organizations didn't have them set up, but you can get the prices of them from some place. In the FAGEX fund, that was 1977. That's a very early believer in the high yield bond funds, but it's under continuous management. It's in the Fidelity organization, and the Vanguard one is in a very top organization. They don't fool around either. So you know, there's no fraud cases in here or hanky panky going on and so forth. So that's going to be our primary indicator as we go forward, and what we're going to be very much interested in. So you see, as of this latest date, the confidence indicator is broken, you know, up above a previous high. I'm not sure whether that necessarily means it has great meaning right now. But if we do get a correction after May 20th and you come down and you just see a little blip down and then you see the market stabilize, well, I would think that the confidence indicator is going to continue up into the August time period, and then when you get to August time period, you take another look at the indicator. So we look at this about once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks or something like that. It has something to say. Okay, so that's it for this topic, and then we're going to move down to the best bond table, the table, which is the third topic for today. Bye-bye.